This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
It is time, as we welcome you back on Grant and Danny, to get some trusted insight from our trusted insider. Presented by IT Cadre. IT Cadre makes this segment possible, where DC Sports Insiders share their exclusive perspective. Austin Eckler is on the line with us for his weekly Tuesday appointment. Make sure you listen every Tuesday at 5. Austin, it is awesome to talk to you again, man. How are you?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? I'm doing well, doing well. Looking forward to being back on.
Yeah, man. How do you guys view Sunday? You're such a pro. You've seen every up and every down. Like, for us as fans, we're watching what feels like two good teams going at it, and you guys came up a little short, but nothing to be discouraged about from our perspective. How do you guys feel?
We're paid to win games, you know, so we're definitely feeling it. You know, it sucks. But there is some good stuff within the lining there. Absolutely. I mean, you got to give the Baltimore Ravens some credit. They are one of the best teams in the league. And, you know, we were right there. We feel like we definitely could have made plays to win that game. So as far as that goes, I mean, that's good, but inevitably not good because we didn't win the game. So I guess take it for what it's worth. You know, it's a good game, but we got to win games. So I don't really necessarily say we feel good about it, but it's not a terrible feeling, so to say.
4-2, chance to get to 5-2 back at home against Carolina. We'll talk about the Panthers coming up in just a few minutes with you, Austin. But specific to the Ravens game, not a complaint, more of an observation. You guys did way less running the ball, even trying to, than you have all season long. I know B-Rob was out. I wonder if that's why, or was that the game plan seemingly all week? The Ravens are the number one run-stuffing team in the league. The numbers eventually bared out that they did a really good job, but you did have some success on a couple early carries. Did you know going into the game, just collectively, it would be a lot more passing and a lot less running than has been the case?
Yeah, you know, I think every game has a life of its own, and every game plan also does as well, depending on how the game is going. And, you know, you go into the game facing a good run defense, okay? We know that that's something they're going to hold their hat on. We don't want to continue to beat ourselves into a wall. If that's not working for us, let's get to something else and hopefully find some success in other things that we've been doing, you know, moving Jaden around, letting him use his legs, throwing the ball down the field, maybe running on the perimeter, some QB keepers, things like that. And so when we go into a game plan, yes, we have different things that we think are going to work, but then there's also things that you get to and be able to adjust away from. Okay, run game's not working. What can we supplement? Do we go to more to the screen game? You know, we were hitting on some screens, some quick throws, things like that to kind of complement the run game, some less risky throws, more higher percentage completions, things like that. And, you know, we didn't do enough ultimately to make it work and make enough plays to actually, you know, get the job done. But game plans are like fluid. They're like water. So you never really know how it's going to continue. It's not ever going to be perfect. So you kind of got to adjust on the fly.
You mentioned the screen game, Austin, and Austin Eckler with us here on Grant and Danny. Grant and I were both raving about this. I have never seen a flea flicker screen. Like when that's first brought up, it's like it. I mean, it's almost like an old school. You know what I'm saying? Like, hear me out. You know what I mean? Like, here's the idea. We're gonna do a flea flicker screen. It sounds like the craziest idea ever. What a thing of beauty that was. Go through that play.
Yeah. That was really creative. Absolutely. So shout out to Cliff for finding that one, or whoever found that one on the staff. You know, the football is a copycat league. I mean, I feel like at this point, every type of play has been run. It's really rare you find a new play. So someone ran that at some point. It might have even been in college. Like, they pulled up some clip. I forgot what team it was, but they ran the flea flicker screen. And we're like, all right, we got this up this week. And sure enough, we were practicing it all week. Actually, the first time we practiced it, I got stepped on by an offensive lineman because I went too fast across the formation, and I got to realize, okay, this is going to be a long screen because we got to hand it off. Jeremy's got to run a couple steps, throw the ball back, and then we got to get Jaden to throw it to me, and then we have to run down the field, and we can't have any linemen down the field. And so went through it a couple of times. You never get the right timing with screens just because it's really hard to simulate like game-style reps. But we broke it down. We ran it, I think, three times during practice that week. I'm like, all right, you know, we got a good feel for it. We'll be really patient, do a three count. And sure enough, ended up working out. Actually, we were accounting for a blitzer coming off the edge. So kind of improvised where I tried to block Roquan over there. And then I kind of got stunned back. And then Jeremy didn't even look at the pitch when he threw it back.
Yeah.
No look, throws it back, and then he goes to block zero, and then Jaden grabs it, sings it to me, and then we gash him for like 30 yards. So it was pretty epic.
Piatas out in front. That was one of my favorite plays I've seen in years.
So cool.
It was just so creative. And I'm not suggesting like Cliff came up with it, you know, in his dreams or something. To your point, I'm sure he saw, or somebody saw it run somewhere. But you answered my next question, which is, so that's not something that has been in the playbook since camp. Like, that was something this week that basically you guys heard about, saw for the first time, and quote-unquote installed.
Oh, yeah. I think I told you guys this like earlier on, you know, one of our earlier interviews, and, you know, for the listeners that are listening to it, maybe it's the first time hearing me, but we have not an entire new playbook every week, but there's probably 30% of new plays that are specifically for this week. We have our bread and butter that we can, you know, run in our sleep that we've been doing since training camp and OTAs, but then it's like, okay, this is the game plan for this week, and here's what we're going to call these things. And so there's always a new turnover every week.
Which makes what you guys do so much more impressive.
Yeah.
I mean, you almost need to be like a Mensa resident to play in the National Football League with all the different terminology. So a play like that, it doesn't need 10 words. It's the scat left, R72, 6, diver, 9, microphone glass.
Right.
Like, do you, like, Philly special. Do you just have, like, Washington special, or are there 15 words like a normal play?
It's kind of both. I mean, it depends on what we have going on. We try to have up tempo, so we try to maximize the simplicity of it, of correlating things to things that make sense in our brain, like left-right calls, using different type of left-rights. You know, you might have, you know, an R word for right, an L word for the left, and that word can be an entire play. So the whole play is a whole line, it's a whole sentence, but on the field, we're just saying one word. You know, we're saying tree, 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 and it means that whole giant thing that you were talking about before. So we try to make it as simple as possible so we can play fast.
I love that. The greatest honor of our lifetime would be on one of your trick plays, like Ben Johnson-esque, three guys touch it, the quarterback gets it, throws downfield to the tackle who's eligible, and he rumbles for a fat guy touchdown. Can we call that the Grant and Danny? Just work that in. The Grant and Danny is your trick play.
You know, we got a suggestion box. Maybe I'll put something in there for you.
There you go. That's what we're looking for.
Yeah. Just thinking about how, you know, rapidly game plans change, what you guys have to, you know, to add and learn every week. You mentioned the no huddle part of this thing. You guys lead the universe in not huddling. Now, it's not all like conventional hurry up, but it's basically catching people in matchups that you like and then going from there. How tough is that to stay on the same page? And you mentioned it, the defense could probably hear some of the things you guys are saying. How do you make sure that it's still coded and secret, and how hard is that to keep organized?
Oh, yeah, it was definitely a huge adjustment for me early on, just from being in a huddle for the past 7 years of my football journey, and then coming to Cliff's offense where now everything is sign language and one-word codes. So that was a huge adjustment. But then now at this point, pretty much used to it and can really, you know, run and stay on the fly. But, yeah, even our code words, you know, even the plays that we'll have from week to week, we'll make sure to change signals So we have signal meetings. We have different one-word meetings. Sometimes stuff will get changed at practice. And we're like, yeah, let's call this. And everyone's like, everyone good with that? Yep. All right, we're changing it. So now now that's a new code word. You got to make sure everyone's up to date. So it's forever evolving. But when you live in it and you breathe it and this is what you do on a daily basis, it's not as crazy as it seems, because you really kind of correlate, okay, this play used to be this, now we call it this. So it's easy to change, easy to pick up.
So one more on that one, Austin. Did you ever play baseball as a kid by any chance?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, so remember like the third base coach, like had to learn all the signs, and then if they thought the other team was figuring out the signs, they would have to give a dummy sign, or like they'd wipe it off or something like that to make that sign not live. Do you have something like that where because you might say the same code word twice in the same game, right? And then someone like, oh, I remember that, that's this play. Do you have words like that, like almost fake words or dummy words?
Yeah, so look, the NFL, like we're doing everything we can to get an edge, right, on our opponent. So we understand that other teams are going to be looking at our signals. And so we have plays that might have been a signal from last week that is actually a different play for this week, because it might be – like all of our plays are kind of evolving. And so it's going to be really hard to, like, understand our signals just because that play, that signal meant this last week. Now it's actually the counter for that, or maybe it's just a totally different play from that. So, I mean, good luck, you know, trying to keep up with it. And there's just so many damn signals that you're going to be wasting your time if you're trying to figure them all out. You might as well just play up and, you know, play your technique.
Austin, it seems like they are very adamant about not overworking you, even with Robinson not playing in the second half last week. We saw a lot of McNichols this past week, no Robinson, and you know, I think you capped off at 9 carries. Do you appreciate that and understand it, or is that something where you go, hey, guys, you don't have to baby me here. I'll be okay. You can give me a little more work.
Yeah, look, it's a long season. It's a long season, and we got some talent in our backfield. You know, Jeremy's been playing well. B. Rob's been playing well. I've been staying efficient, and so that's what you're going to see when a backfield like this. And that's one of the things that intrigued me here was, hey, we do have players that can play, and so guess what? We're going to be able to spread as much of that love as we possibly can. And for the longevity of our careers for this season, like that's a positive I see, especially me going into year 8. Like, the healthier we can be, especially in the back end of this thing, the better. So at the front end, hey, if we can still win games and we're continuing to rotate people and people are playing at a high level, like, let's keep it rolling.
Austin, go back to Sunday. One more from me on that. You mentioned maybe there were some opportunities or things that you guys could have done. Is there something in particular that jumps to mind where you go, man, that was close. We could have had that one, or that was there and I didn't make a play, or something to that effect. Is there one that jumps out at you?
Yeah, there's a few. There's a few different plays, but it's not necessarily like there's multiple of us that are involved in things, you know, and it's always the smallest things that play themselves out or don't play themselves out. You know, it's maybe, you know, like a shallow route that actually should have sat down, but they took 2 extra steps and the ball was behind and we dropped the ball on third down, or we didn't hand off the read, or actually should have been a pull read. And so it's an accumulation of small little decisions that you can't really say, like, this is exactly how it's going to go, because sometimes we make it work. It's just kind of the part of playing the game that we need to do, and we have been playing at a high level that you can't really practice. You know, it's like when you're – even like some of the scrambles that Jaden's getting out and places that, hey, you probably should have, you know, V-cut, gone up, pushed back, and then come back to the ball and gave Jaden the throw right here. So it's not necessarily anything specific, because I don't want to say this is the play that could have turned everything around, because there's not that one play, but there's small little details that we could have done better in a couple different instances that would have made big, significant plays for sure.
Austin Ekeler on Grant and Danny here on The Fan. What was your reaction to the news that John Allen, who's been so important to this organization over the years, is lost for the season with the torn pec?
Yeah, it's freaking devastating, obviously, man, just for what he means. Not even as a player, as far as on the field, we'll get to that in a second, but let's just say in our locker room too, like, he's definitely one of those leaders, one of our guys that brings us up, you know, during practice or during the game, you know, gives us a speech, you know, really connected to pretty much the entirety of the team and the organization, been here for a long time. So one of those life guys in the locker room. And then obviously on the field, you know, is definitely a terror, holds his own, strong. And so it's obviously a hit to our team, and, you know, we're wishing him the best, but definitely something that is going to definitely affect us. So now it's not necessarily next man up. It is, but, you know, it's like, it sucks because you can't really replace that type of leadership, you know.
Absolutely. Speaking of guys that missed this past week, we already talked about Brian Robinson. Do you know when your running mate's coming back?
I can't really speak on injuries. You guys know this, and so we'll see. We'll see. I'll let that play itself out.
But he's feeling all right for the most part. I mean, we don't need to know if he's going to play or not. But I mean, you can tell.
I hope so. I can't even say that. I can't. I got to hold my tongue. Like that. No information about injuries could come from my mouth.
I don't want you getting in trouble.
That's right.
Nobody needs that at this point. Let's talk Panthers for a second. When do you start watching film on the upcoming opponent? They've got a coordinator, I believe still in it, Jiro Evro, who gets head coaching opportunities. Everybody seems to love around the league. Really sharp guy. D'Angelo Hall, former Redskins, been on that staff the last couple of years as well. They do a pretty good job on that side of the ball for, you know, kind of their faults in the standings. What have you seen so far?
Yeah, I usually watch the highlights. You know, there's like a NFL, I go to NFL scores on Google, and then it like shows like the highlights, and I watch like the 15-minute clip. Usually on like Monday or Tuesday, and then Wednesday. So tomorrow, you know, is this going out live today? Is this live right now? I don't know. Tomorrow on Wednesday is usually when I start diving into actual watching their film, because I feel like Tuesday is like my mental reset day. Like today's the day where I just get to kind of not think about football, reset my mind. And then in the morning, I'm like looking forward to being back in with the guys, seeing the new updates on the new teams, the new game plan, all of that. So I'll start jumping into it tomorrow. But for us, like, it is all about this week, dominating this week, making sure we get this win this week. We're back home, so that's going to be a great atmosphere. We know there, and it's about going to dominate the Panthers. So that's all I'll be focusing on this week.
Yeah, Austin, you mentioned you guys are coming home. Last one, message to the fans, man. You guys are playing in front of a raucous crowd against the Carolina Panthers. What do you want to say to them?
Hey, continue to bring the energy. Hey, we love you, and we love what you've been doing. I'm new. I'm the new kid on the block. And what I've seen so far, not even from our organization, but beyond that, just the fans around, the love has been tremendous and outstanding. So we appreciate you guys. And I know things have been tough in the past, but hey, we are a new team with some new goals and new aspirations. And I think you're feeling that new energy. So stay tuned for some more. We'll see you out there.
Yeah, it looks very different. It feels very different. And we are happy with the results at this point. Austin Ekeler, thrilled to talk to him every week. Always very, very good with us. Thank you, Austin.
Thanks, Austin. We appreciate you, buddy.
Thanks, boys. Have a good one.
Yeah, we'll be good, brother. Stay healthy. There's Austin Ekeler on Grant and Danny, brought to you by IT Cadre, their trusted insight, helping leaders of the nation's most important organizations understand complexity, align efforts, and make the best data-driven decisions to achieve success. IT Cadre, your vision, our purpose.
Always good to catch up with Austin. So, yeah, I mean, this is what I always wonder, right? I mean, pro football players and really pro athletes in general don't think of things the way that we do. They're not wired like regular human beings. Understandably, you got to be pretty special to make it to that level. You know, the elite one fraction of a millionth of a percent at the highest level of things. So they don't think about it like, oh, we lost to a good team. Oh, shucks. It's one of those like, no, that sucks, dude. That's not what we're here to do. You know what I mean? Like, we're not here to just to say that we tried. And I know that's easy for us to kind of rationalize, but it sticks in their craw a little bit, which I like.
Sunday's going to be ultra revealing. I want to get into that next. I mean, this will be the end of the what is this team discussion, in my opinion, once and for all, if they're able to handle the Panthers without much issue. Let's talk about that next. Grant and Danny with you, taking you up to 6:30. It's a Survivor Tuesday on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be to be.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Grant and Danny on The Fan. Welcome back, and thank you for listening to the program on a Survivor Tuesday. We will take you up to 6:30, about an hour from right now on The Fan. Your next chance to win Caps tickets on G&D tomorrow at 4 ahead of the Beltway Blitz. If you missed Trey Wingo today at 3 o'clock, the former host of NFL Live, or Austin Eckler at 5 o'clock, make sure you grab the podcast when we are done. TheFanDC.com, GrantandDanny.com/audio is the best way to do that. Danny, I'm going to give you a take. I want you to agree or disagree.
Go.
I believe that this weekend will be the last weekend for the discussion about how good is Washington, how different is this from years past, one way or the other. If they go out and beat the Panthers by 10 points, even by 7 or 8 points in a game where there's never really a risk of losing, it's like, frankly, Washington lost to Baltimore by 7. Did you ever think the Ravens were going to lose?
No.
Was there ever a moment, really after the opening field goal, the pick by San Ristil, the 3-3 score early, where you thought the Commanders are going to steal this game?
Yeah, that's as good as a guide. There's a chance they could steal it. But it felt like they were playing a team that was better than they were.
Correct.
Me, most of it, yeah.
I think if they play that game with the Panthers and win, score not mattering, but probably 7 points or more, mm-hmm. let's say. It's not a squeaker. It's not a last-second field goal, what have you. They're just good. Like, we need to stop worrying about all the years as prologue and everything before this and who the last head coach and the last coordinator and the last quarterbacks were. And you just look at this resume. And while playing with the Ravens was indicative that they're pretty good, mm-hmm. even in a loss,
yep.
because you hung and you got the consolation prize, so to speak. I know Eckler's not feeling that. Said it sucks. We don't play that game. We can, I think, sitting in studio. But I think equally as significant is how do you deal with the Panthers. Because when you played the Cardinals, you didn't play down. When you played the Browns, you whooped that butt. They have not played down. And we will be at almost the midway point of the season, about 40% into the season, where they're in first place, 5-2, and handling bad teams. So if they come out and they beat Carolina decisively, I'm over the what are they, how good are they, is this the... Whatever the next phase of shows that we need to start doing are, we begin next week. I'm not playing the, are they really the 7th best team in the league? Are they really? Is the other shoe going to drop? Maybe there's a regression. Maybe Kingsbury runs into the wall offensively. He's been unbelievable. Maybe Jaden's rookie season, you know, goes sideways a little bit at some point with adjustments. All of that, it's not going to be linear. It's there. It might happen.
Yep.
But they're a good football team, period. And I think Sunday is my gavel-slamming moment where it's over after that.
I would tend to agree. You've gone from nice stretch, which was. It was unbelievable, the four games. And if you then kind of, you know, as we're going through it, you beat the Giants by a field goal, probably a different game if they actually have a field goal kicker that doesn't pull his groin before the game. Bengals, they didn't stop anybody. Bengals missed, a chip shot field goal from a guy that's as reliable as anybody and then had to go for two times. The point is, that's 38 points right there. That's what Washington ended up scoring, 38-38. So you still go, okay, they've won these couple of games, and that's fun. That was awesome. That Monday Night Football, we were there. It was great. It was one of the most fun experiences I've ever had watching the sport. But now we're going, okay, two fun games, but now what? Well, now what is they play their best game of the season at Arizona? Then they probably play just as good, if not better, against Cleveland, against a pretty good defense. So now you're going, I now look at the first two wins through a different lens.
Yep.
This is what I use this word an awful lot, and I hate that I overuse it, but it becomes validating. Your previous sample no longer becomes a fluke, right? It's no longer that data spike, right, where you have a guy that scores that gets like 50 out of 100 every test, and then one, he gets a 95, and the teacher's probably going, he might have cheated on that one because that's my pretty reliable F student all of a sudden rolled in and turned in A work, and it was beautiful prose. Maybe there's something to miss here. When there's no spikes anymore, it's just the line that you're on. That's where you are. That's who you are. The longer you do something, more it is, that's what you do. So this, to me, is I'm holding my stamp, and I'm going to hit validated if they handle business against a bad team.
It's the Washington's actually really good stamp, and you slam it down on that paper.
Yep.
Washington should win the division stamp. I've already used that one. No, Washington isn't bad stamp. I've used that one. Whoa, Cliff Kingsbury and Jaden Daniels are making beautiful music, and this might actually be a thing offensively stamp. I've already used that one. But I will be ready to use this is no longer a week-to-week referendum and conversation. The expectation when they're 5-2 and beat Carolina, if that happens, should be you should hold them to the standard of don't play down to the Giants.
Yeah.
Like, we'll be in a realm we haven't been in years and years and years, which is very, very exciting. But I do want to open up the phones on this for you guys. It's been a light day in terms of opportunities for you guys to call. We've had some good guests and had some good conversations and some audio we wanted to play. But let's open up the MGM National Harbor listener lines right now. 1-800-636-1067. Do you agree with my premise that after this weekend, we can officially stop the week-to-week, what are we really, discussions? Because the flip side of the decisive win, which I think is the slam dunk, is a loss to Carolina, which I think does open the door to, well, wait a second. You're 4-3, and you had the really good stretch, but you've beaten a Giants team that is going to pick in the top 10, a Bengals team that just beat the Giants barely to get to two wins, thanks to some missed field goals, a Cardinals team that's not very good, and a Cleveland team that might be the worst in the National Football League that just sold off one of their best players today because they're so bad. And I think if you lose to Carolina, you have played down to the Panthers. It is the type of game for many, many years you've lost. And then I think the Bears on paper is a toss-up. And there's no reason to believe you're not going to play down to the Giants, who almost beat you in week two. Right? So I think the whole feel becomes different. Whereas if you win, you've won five of your last six. The only loss in a competitive game on the road against one of the better teams in football in the Baltimore Ravens. And the road ahead is a Bears team you're going to be favored over, a Giants team you're a lot better than on paper, a Steelers team that'll be frisky, hard to play. That's not a fun matchup.
Yeah, they're a pain in the butt.
But you should beat them. Like, I just think that this weekend finally is the, all right, enough is enough. We will know for sure once and for all in X number of hours.
Now, what about this scenario? We talked about this a bunch when it came to, remember these conversations a decade ago about paying Kirk Cousins and the team's gamble. Which was, if he's great with this year-to-year thing, yeah, no problem. You got a great quarterback. You just pay him whatever. If he's bad, no problem. You pay you're free, hands clear. But what if he's pretty good? What if he's better than what you've had, but it's not unbelievable? Then you're in a quandary. What if they beat Carolina, but You know what I mean? What if they eke one out against Carolina, a garbage team on the, for Washington at home? Like the way the, I don't know, you could pick your mediocre win, your unimpressive win. If they go full Sirianni against the Browns, right? And eke out against a bad team. How validating will that be? Is that one of those, we'll take the win, we don't care? And do we still do referendums each week? That's the one I don't know about. I don't have an answer to that question.
800-636-1067. Let's go to Chris in Oxon Hill on G&D. Chris, you buying what I'm selling here, that this is going to be the tell, that this game will once and for all answer what Washington really is?
Hey, how's it going, fellas? Definitely hey, appreciate you. I think I'm a call today. I'll be honest with you, Grant. I'm 50-50. Reason being is because I've been watching this team since the 90s. And ever since the 90s, I've been very disappointed with where we were and where we went. And don't get me wrong, I'm totally thinking that we're better than where we were. But I want to say right now, the stamp that I can definitely say is that we are better than where we were. And, you know, whenever I call, got to take it back to wrestling. So, you know, I want to say right now, we're like that tag team that's doing better than what they were, but we're not champions just yet. So I'm hoping that we can get to that level. And like I said, I really think that we're almost there, but I just don't think that we're there just yet. Definitely appreciate y'all taking my call.
Thanks, dude. We're like the Intercontinental Champion, like what the Honky Tonk Man was for so many years.
We're the Dudley Boys while they're ascending.
Mm-hmm.
We need to start putting some people through tables. Danny, get the tables. And the Panthers will be the first team we send through. How about that?
Do we send Ryan through a table?
Clary went through a table once. That was a different Ryan
Clary.
By the way,
he was twice the weight he is now.
Yeah.
Like, not even doing a bit.
I don't know if it was quite twice the weight.
I think it's twice as much.
He weighs 100 now?
I think he's a little bit more than 100 now. Right. And I think he was a lot more than 100 then.
Yeah. I don't know. I know he's very skinny now. And he was not very skinny then. And he went crashing through that table.
Hot knife, butter. They greeted.
I don't like his chances to get through the table anymore. The Panthers are a better team with the Bryce Young benching. And because of that, I do think they can play with everybody, mostly. Like last week, they gave the Falcons some problems. If you just look at the box score or the score at the end of the game, you'd say, oh, Atlanta destroyed Carolina. They really didn't. The Falcons were right there in that game. There was actually a blocked punt that hurt them that helped Atlanta. There was a turnover deep in their own end as well on a short field. They have beaten the Raiders. They have hung with and played with Cincinnati. Like the pre-Dalton Panthers, that's an 0-17, 1-16, you should beat this team by 20 kind of opponent. That's not really what Carolina is now.
Right.
Carolina now is just one of the bad teams in the league.
They're regular bad now.
Exactly. They're on the same level with, if you look at the conference standings, you pick whoever you want, but like playing Jacksonville, New England, and Cleveland is about the same as playing Carolina. Playing maybe in the NFC, I don't know that there are teams as bad as them, but like the Giants, the Saints, the Cardinals, those are the two win teams in the league. I think all of those teams are probably a hair better than the Panthers, but the gap with Dalton is not Grand Canyon anymore. So that's why I kind of think this will be revealing. It's not going to be an easy game. You don't just get to roll the football out and go win. But if you can't handle them, you just keep doing that whenever you play teams that aren't that good. So that's just what you've become, to your point.
Precisely. Yeah, I mean, nobody's saying, again, that they have the murderer's row coming up and they've got to beat all those teams just to get in or something to that effect. There are winnable games as we kind of do this dance every year. And for so long, I always used to get angry at people who go, well, they're playing down to their opponent. Every single city is going, thank God it's Washington. They're not playing down to anybody. They were the down. They're not the down anymore.
Well, I also think that sometimes like you can look at that game against the Ravens and go, they proved that they're good. They hung with Baltimore. Bad teams play up a lot. And I'm not saying they're bad, but like teams play above their skis because it's easy, because there's nobody's expecting you to win. Mm-hmm. You're the underdog on the road. It's a better situation than the expectations. I actually think it's the more revealing, telling thing is when the really good team just dominates the bad team. That's the behavior that actually kind of turns me on a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to talk about a good football team, is not, I like that we were close with Baltimore. No. It's this team that's not as good as me.
Yeah, team that's picking top five, you whoop their ass.
Came to my place And I sent them home with the L that everybody knew I was going to. Mm-hmm. And I might have even done it more decisively than people thought. I mean, since when has that ever been the case here? Not in my adult life has Washington been that team that just dominates the bad team. And they have a chance to do it Sunday. Well, let's hear what you guys have to say on this next 800-636-1067. Grant and Danny on the Fan, a huge NFL news day. We'll go through some of the trades that were made today on the Fan when we continue. Taking a first statistical look at the Carolina Panthers ahead of Sunday's game at Landover, Maryland's Northwest Stadium. Still doesn't quite roll off the tongue. Why is that game at 4 o'clock, by the way?
So this is the way it used to be. Used to be the old school, like, marquee matchups every once in a while, even though it was NFC East games, were 4-p.m.ers. Like, Washington and Dallas always used to be that way?
You used the word marquee, though. And it's the Panthers and a Commanders team that everyone thought would stink.
You know, the Panthers part, I can't really figure out.
I think it's Bryce Young, Jaden Daniels related, if I had to guess. Last year's number one pick, this year's number two pick. Because we're all excited. If you missed the news earlier today, we're starting to get to the point where Washington is kind of being fought over by the networks. CBS has flexed next week's Commanders-Bears game in week 8 to a 4:25 kick so they can nationally televise it. They're going to put the A-team, it sounds like, Nance and Romo, on that game. But this was already a scheduled 4 o'clocker. I believe this was the only one. And it's just funny that it's Panthers, Washington, in D.C. Last week, Panthers-Falcons was a 4 o'clock game with Chris Myers on the call. It's not some A-team, B-team situation. It's just a random game where they put it at 4 o'clock for some reason in that window. Just seems strange to me, that's all. I think they probably thought Bryce Young's coming into his own with Dave Canales. He's red hot. Jaden Daniels is one of the more intriguing quarterbacks in the league as a rookie. Let's make sure we have a decent audience for this one. And it's the B team on CBS with my favorite crew anyway, Ian Eagle and Charles Davis.
You also have to take into account it's the 4:05 game. The 4:25 game is actually going to be on Fox, and that'll be the Chiefs and 49ers. So
right,
it's technically not the national.
That's what I said.
Right, yeah. It's not necessarily the one national game. The one national game will be the Chiefs 49ers game on Fox.
Right, but that's what I just said. I mean, it's a CBS non-18 game, so there's no reason to have it at 4:05.
Well, I think the other thing the NFL is trying to do is they're trying to make sure that there's enough games in that 4 o'clock window for red zone.
So, but why this one? This was the Panthers, who are bad, and the Commanders, who were supposed to be bad. There's not another game this weekend that on paper looked better than this one. Now, it worked out because you get Jaden Daniels in the 4 o'clock window. They actively avoided that. There's not one other Washington East Coast game that was going to be played at 4:05 all season. And every home game was at 1:05.
Maybe everybody's got to do it once. My voice is going up because I don't know.
It's possible.
There are games that are further west, and that's what I think of when I think of the 4 o'clock, like Detroit, Minnesota, middle of the country.
Better game, by the way.
Houston, Green Bay, pretty good game.
Better game. Yeah. Are those at 1?
Those are both 1ers.
Are either of those on CBS?
I don't know.
If they are, then now I really don't know.
Houston, Green Bay is the Jim Nance, Tony Romo game. So that's the CBS 1 o'clock special. Detroit, Minnesota appears to be Fox's 1 o'clock top game.
Okay.
Because they have their B team on that.
So, you're not going to put... They picked the right A game, I'll say that, with Detroit, Minnesota, for sure. Which the 1 o'clock Nance and Romo situation, also odd, but we don't need to get into those details. That their nationally televised game isn't able to go head-to-head with Fox like it did a few years ago.
Uh-huh.
Now they basically, one gets the 4 o'clock window, one gets the 1. Kind of strange. Let's go to Will, who's in Baltimore, home of the Ravens. What's up, Will?
Hey, Will. Hey guys. How y'all doing? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, man.
You bet.
So, first and foremost, longtime fan. I've been a Skins fan since I was 2 years old. I'm 43 now, and now I guess now we're the Commanders, and trying to deal with that the best I can. But let's talk about what happened this past weekend. A lot of people, obviously are upset, wanting to make trades, and we all need to really take a step back. How long has it been since this organization in general has dealt with, let's say, the Snyder era? That was a dismal, horrible time for all of us as fans. Nothing good to really talk about. we had a little excitement with RG3. Obviously, that wasn't handled correctly, but, you know, let's move on from that. Now we've got Adam Peters. We've got an owner that actually cares. It seems like he's committed to the fans, to being actually putting a product on the field. We also have Adam Peters that says he wants to mimic or replicate the Ravens organization. I cannot think of a better organization from top to bottom to mimic. Now, granted, that's been a great organization since day one, since the times of their draft and Ray Lewis and Jonathan Ogden and all those greats they had. We are slowly building towards something.
So, well,
I know a lot of people want to make some trades.
I'm going to get you back on track here a little bit. Question is, sure, this weekend, game against the Panthers, buy or sell that this will be, when we find out once and for all, how good this team is?
We already found that out this weekend. Went up against a top team. I apologize about going off.
You're good. So you think that they already did that against Baltimore because they're one of the pillars of the league right now?
Most definitely. I mean, you think about Kansas City and Baltimore, the top two teams. And now, granted, we clawed, we grind, we went toe-to-toe the best that we could. However, though, Baltimore is a premium house. And we stood as long as we could. Now, granted, you give us a couple extra pieces on defense, some playmakers. I don't think we have those legit playmakers yet.
Totally. Appreciate the call.
Thanks, dude.
So his argument is, and I want to see where you come in on this, Danny. This is what we're talking about right before break. Going up against one of the elites and being right there is what he needed to see.
Mm-hmm.
I was hoping to see that. I love seeing that. I actually think I learn more when you go up against the bad teams and you crush them. The Browns game was more revealing to me than the Ravens game. Which side are you on there?
Yeah, the being able to handle your business is not something we're used to. I've seen them beat bad teams plenty of times. I've seen them beat good teams plenty of times. Then people overrate those and maybe underrate the others. It's the dismantling. It's the other team that's not on your level never at once looks like they have a chance. They just get throttled, and that's what it's supposed to look like. So I think I do buy that in general. I mean, again, this is such a with injuries and schedules and the way this league goes, there's undulations and ups and downs. They don't have enough deposits in the bank for me over multiple years to get benefit of the doubt. In other words, four games in a row where they won is four games so far. You've got a chance to now make it. No, this is who we are this coming weekend, I think. So there's still a little bit hanging in the air for me.
He said he's heard from, you know, fans being upset that want to make trades. I think those are two different things. I haven't really heard any fans that have been particularly upset about what's going on with the Commanders.
Yeah, angry they lost, or maybe angry at a specific player, but
I think 95% of what I have heard has been that they are thrilled that they hung. And like kind of what he's saying, mm-hmm, that they're really good because they almost beat the Ravens. That's different than, hey, let's be aggressive and go get a corner because this team's actually good enough to win the division and maybe win a playoff game. Maybe help out this defense that's not very good with adding some personnel. But I think that's different than being bothered by the Ravens game. I think, I don't know, what I've heard, being at the game, talking to a lot of fans, the phones the last couple days, social media, has been 99% very positive.
Yeah, I've seen some, and there's some crossover in the Venn diagrams there where this guy stinks or this part of the team stinks. Let's go trade for somebody to replace them and upgrade because we have a chance to do something this year. Maybe more out of frustration from that Ravens game specifically, but in general, I agree with you. That's the sentiment.
All right, if you guys are getting in on Commander Survivor, you got to vote right now because Darius and Ryan are about to tabulate all the votes. Facebook.com/Grant and Danny. We are kicking somebody off the island, and we're giving somebody immunity. We will tell you who wins and loses in Commander Survivor this week, next segment. Plus, we'll spin you around the NFL on a huge news day in football on G&D.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.